Good morning. It is wonderful to be with you this morning, and I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the very first time. We are glad you're here at Unity Church. We hope you find this to be a place which helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of service, integrity, and joy. Following the service, you're invited for refreshments in the parish hall. There, you can meet friends new and old, visit our bookstall, and stop by the many information tables. If you are interested in learning more about becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table in the parish hall, just that way. As always, our children's library and the adult Anderson Library are also open after every service and available to you. They're located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. I encourage you to take a look at This Week at Unity Church, the insert in your order of service. It serves as a roadmap and a guide to deeper involvement here at the church. Join us this Wednesday for Wellspring Wednesday. We only have two more Wellspring Wednesdays in this church year, so this is one not to miss. As always, dinner is at 6, worship at 6:45, and programming begins at 7:15. In particular, our Mano a Mano team brings us journalist Mary Stuckey, who will give her lecture live from Bolivia. We will also feature Sammy Rizzulli, an Iraqi American who grew up in Najaf and founder of the Muslim Peacekeeper Team movement. The Unity's men's group will meet as well, and they will go to a Twins game this Thursday. Please see our sabbatical co-minister Justin Schroeder for more information. This Thursday, May 17th at 7 p.m. in the Ames Chapel, Unity member Grant Wacker will offer a class on legacy. Please see your insert for more information. Additionally, we received 342 congregational annual surveys, and I thank you all for participating. And another opportunity for feedback, you will find a special 4:30 service in your order of worship. And if you could take the time, it's really brief, fill this out, drop it off at the welcome table, and you'll be eligible to get a free Unity t-shirt, and we could really use your feedback. And I know you want the t-shirt. And if you have one, this could be your backup, so you could rotate. Next Sunday, Katie Lawson, former Unity intern, will lead our service titled False Idols and Feeling Good. She will be joined by Worship Associate Leah Rivamonte. We will celebrate our annual flower communion that Sunday as well, so remember your flowers. Services are at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and at 4:30. Finally, at the conclusion of the service, Worship Associate Neely Crane Smith and I would like to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors at the back of the sanctuary. Again, welcome to Unity Church.
For the beauty of this earth, this spinning blue ball, yes. Gaia, mother of everything, we walk gently across your back to come together again in this place, to remember how we can live, to remember how who we are, to create how we will be. Gaia, our home, the lap in which we live, welcome us. Come, let us worship together. Children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself.
They come for you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you.
You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you, for life goes not backwards nor tarries with yesterday. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite and bends you with might that the arrows may go swift and far.
Every Sunday, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that permeates this sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and those unseen, those who live with addiction, those who live with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with courage. We celebrate the life and we mourn the death of Benjamin Cassidy, son of Mary Zann Miller and Leo Cassidy. Benjamin was only 31 years old and died Wednesday evening of complications from liver failure. He was surrounded by family. We extend our embrace to his mother, Mary, his brothers, Jacob and Isaac, and to all of Benjamin's family as they grieve this difficult loss. We grieve the death of Susan Sternfels as we remember and honor her life. Susan died last Thursday afternoon of brain cancer. We hold her children, Lila and Josh, in our hearts. Susan's memorial will be here at the church next Friday at 2:30. Today, we send our prayers and love to Pat Argyros, who continues to recover from a fractured rib and vertebra from a recent fall. We pray for her comfort and her healing. May we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we become instruments of a lasting peace. On this Mother's Day, we pray for our Mother Earth, who sustains us all and is in great peril. May we have the courage to care for her as she has cared for us. I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or hold in the embrace of this community. For the names which have been spoken, and the names that remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the lives that have touched ours. Please join me in prayer. Mother God, Spirit of life, we are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. We are all children of mothers. Some of us are mothers, but we are all called to care for one another. On this Mother's Day, we ask for patience of mind, energy of body, to care for ourselves and to care for one another. Mother Goddess, we ask that you nurture us when we are weary and comfort us when we are afraid. Grant our hearts understanding and our minds wisdom. May we be people of integrity and kindness, for the world is in great need of these things. We give thanks for our very life. We give thanks for the woman who gave us life. May we express this deep gratitude by rejoicing in this day, for life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. Truly, it is good to be alive. Amen.
Thank you.
This fine spring day marks the last day of the religious education program here. And today is the day on which we express our gratitude to the many adults and older youth from the congregation who have spent their year from September through today in ministry with the children and the youth of this church. We've been together for 32 Sundays through fall and winter and now spring. And we have something for you, teachers, in exchange for your love and your time and your energy and your patience and your caring and your curiosity. We have a flower. It's not much in the way of thanks, but flowers have a lot in common with kids, I think. In fact, maybe you can tell me a little bit about flowers, everybody, grown up and kids. If I have a flower and I want to make it grow, what does it need? Just holler out. What do flowers need?
Water.
They need water. What else?
Water.
They need sunlight. They need soil. They need lots of things, and if a flower has water and sunlight and soil, will it grow? It will grow. And they need air. Thanks, Quentin. If they have those things, they will grow. Do kids grow too? Yeah. Do their bodies grow? Oh yeah. Do their hearts grow bigger? Absolutely, especially in a home like this. And do their spirits grow too? Absolutely. And what does a kid need if they're going to grow in spirit and in heart and in body? Holler out some of the things that kids need. They need food, they need water, they need love. Do they need teachers? Oh yes, they sure do need teachers. And if they have food and love and teachers, will they grow? Oh yes. They will grow. But here's something that's a little bit different. Let's say, if you can see my whole big cart of flowers here, let's say I wanted to grow all these flowers. There's a lot of flowers here. There's like 130 flowers. If I want to grow all these flowers, how many suns do I need? Do I need 130 suns? No, how many suns will do? One sun will do. But here's my question for you. If we want to grow the hearts and the spirits of 423 children and youth, will one person do? Oh no. No, it takes the whole village of all of us. And this year, we have been blessed by the loving care and ministry of 130 volunteer teachers whom we honor today. I have some help in honoring them. I have some of our young people who will read their names aloud like a prayer of gratitude. And I hope that when you hear the names of people whom you know and love, that you will, when you see them today or next Sunday, thank them, hold them in your arms, and express your gratitude for what they've given to our kids. Kids who are here, I also need your help. If you are a child and you are here in the sanctuary, will you please come forward and stand with me? Oh, great, I have so much help. And now, if you're present here with us and you have been one of the people who has taught our children and our youth this year, would you please stand? You know who you are, Spirit Play teachers, journey guides. Kids are going to bring you your present of a flower or flowers. And if the youth would please approach the lectern there, they're going to read to you the names of the 130 people here and not here whom we hold in our hearts today.
Stu Alger.
Elizabeth Alexander, Sally Anderson, Deborah Barhelgen, Mary Barrymore, Karen Barnes, Alan Burkholz, Lisa Brasso, Suzanne Burr, Lynn Burton, David Carnes, Anne Caswell, Charlie Caswell, Bridget Kearney, Kim Chase Kozak, Eddie Chaletti, Marianne Combs, Sue Connor, Teresa Connor, Michael Crane, Tom Crane, Kathy Crosby Schmidt, Chris Crosby Schmidt,
Joanne Daddy, Jessica Daly, Susanna Dayton Larkin, Katie DeKramer, Deb DeNoels, Mary Dunkel, Michelle Dizik, Mary Beth Eichart, Tom Esch, Heather Farber Lau, Hillary Frazee, Mark Frey, Rob Fulton, Michael Gary, Ari Giles, Todd Graham, Katie Gray, Allison Green, Audrey Green Perez, Rich Hamer, Dorothea Hansmeyer, Christy Hansen, Paul Hansen.
Kareen Hegard, Carly Hemmelgarn, Lee Hasselroth, Jim Hankley, Susan Heinze, Lisa Hertz-Carnes, Amy Horning, Dale Howley, Steve Hughes, Beth Janke, Sarah Garnish, Rachel Call, Jerry Kutinen, Susie Kalberger, Deanna Kramer, Chris Kolvosky, Neil Kolvosky, Cecile Yang, Lang, Richard Lau, Jane Lee, Ted Lentz, Jim Leitner, Steve Lewis.
Bob Lies, Peggy Lynn, Mary Kay Litzau, Ruth McKenzie, Susie McPherson, Randy Madison, Christy Manning, Ginny Martin, Audrey Mattson Lease, Molly Macbeth, Renee Meyer Grimberg, Cynthia Mills, Sally Morin, Larry Mourn, Allie Naughton, Angela Newhouse, Brian Newhouse, Jason O'Keen, Gretchen Olson, Lee Olson, Laura Park, Charlie Polly, Kathy Paulson.
Sandra Pinal, Pam Quirk-Becker, Kathleen Radspinner, Bonnie Ryland, Julie Rice, Kevin Robert Pierce, Amy Robertson, Karen Roof, Marty Rossman, Betsy Rote, Craig Rote, Jackie Stahl, Kent Stahl, Eli Sheffman, Frank Schalder, Justin Schroeder, Teresa Startwitz, Arlene Seesor, Pam Sheen.
Barbara Skockland, Stephanie Steele, John Steiner Manning, Polly Stick, Shannon Stevens, Zach Stevens, Stacy Surratt, Jenny Thompson, Bob Upte, Jen Vanek, Scott Velders, Lori Wagner, Nancy Wagner, Karen Wamenholm, Mona Walden Fry, Lori Wetterstrom, Jerry White, Kate Wilcox Harris, Jenny Wilson, Ty Wilson, Ruby Young.
The
Those are the 130 people who have been this year's gardeners, and we have seen blooms this year in our children, just a few, including an understanding that God is mystery, an appreciation that human beings have within us the capacity for both good and evil, an understanding that friendship is the basis of community, an approach to spiritual practice, and the beginnings of an acknowledgement of grief and mourning as part of the human experience. But we know that seeds are the gifts that we give to the future, and the children whom we have taught this year are our gifts to the future from this congregation. And so to the 130 people, some of whom are with us and some of whom are not, we offer our deepest gratitude. And now I'd like to invite all of the kids and the current teachers to go downstairs and celebrate the end of our RE year. Thanks so much to our readers.
Been worshiping with us for some time, you know that our offering goes out the door and 100% goes to benefit those agencies in our community and around the globe that live out the values of our church to make the world a better place. Today, our offering will benefit Mano a Mano, which helps provide health care and advocacy in rural Bolivia. And in particular, today, we remember all of the mothers and children, many of whom's lives will be and have been saved by the work of Mano a Mano. Everyone here in the sanctuary today survived infancy, and all of the mothers here today had health care and access and the good fortune to live beyond their labor. Please give as generously as you are able so we can share the many blessings we have of life with our friends in Bolivia. Will the ushers please come forward? To the work of the church, may this offering be a gift and a blessing to those who give it and those who receive it.
Lessons. She carried me for 9 months and fed me from her body. This taught me about flesh and the physical world. She let me pick out my clothes and read whatever I wanted. This taught me about choice and freedom. She took me to church and showed me the sun salutation. This taught me about faith and witness. She fought with me and showed me her weaknesses. This taught me about compromise and forgiveness. She comforts me when I am selfish and abrasive. This taught me about love and friendship. She has a name of her own, but she gave it up. For me, she will always be Mom.
When I call my mother on Mother's Day, I thank her again for making me, and for lamb chops, and for smocked dresses, for Buster Brown Mary Janes, my metatarsals blue in the radiation box. She laughs. She loves this. She says, I hope you haven't forgotten that I peeled you grapes when you were sick. You what? When you were sick, I would give you a bowl of peeled, chilled grapes. She giggles. I cannot see it. My mother giving me a cold bowl of eyeball glitter, and then I see it is a Pyrex dish. There is chill and light and time and work all over the place. Ovals of pallid mesh. Flay to cheer me up, her labor turned to my little joy. It is true she tied me to a chair one day, but she brought me alphabet soup. It is true she was hairbrushed wild and lay on top of my poor dotty soul for me to pray for her while she cried on me. But my mother, with her long, entranced, erotic fingernails, peeled grapes for me. She did not mean it, but she said it. Be yourself.
Thank you.
A little boy forgot his lines in his RE presentation one Sunday morning. His mother was in the first row to prompt him. She gestured. She formed the word silently with her lips, but it didn't help. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue.
I am the light of the world.
The child beamed, and with great feeling and a loud, clear voice, he said, my mother is the light of the world. It would seem that this child's mother would be the kind of mom who, like the mom in Sharon Old's poem, would peel grapes for him, who would let him pick out his clothes and read whatever he wanted. I've had my share of sweet memories of my own mom. Like on my 6th birthday, she took me to the mall and let me go to any store I wanted and to touch and look as long as I wanted. At the toy store, I picked out a miniature tea set that day. Mother's Day is rightfully rife with sweetness, yet we all know it has its share of saccharine sentimentality. If you've walked through Walgreens in the last month, you can't miss the entire aisle of bright pink cards with glitter and ribbons. The holiday that began in 1870 in Boston by Unitarian Julia Ward Howe as a woman's call for pacifism and disarmament has evolved since then. By all appearances, today it seems like a holiday started by the greeting card industry. But at its best, it's a time we can reflect upon the woman who gave us birth, the parents who raised us, those who care for us today, and our ability to care for others. The mother-child relationship is complex. After that part about peeling the grapes, Sharon Old says, it is true, she tied me to a chair one day, but she brought me alphabet soup. Love mingles with anger, desperation pairs with patience. Not everyone's mother peeled grapes for them. While some mothers are nurturing, some are stifling. Linguistics professor Deborah Tannen wrote a book about the mother-daughter relationship. She describes this scene. Lorraine was spending a week visiting her mother, who lived in the senior living complex. One evening, they were about to go down to dinner in the dining room. As Lorraine headed for the door, her mother hesitated. Scanning her from head to toe, she asked, you're not gonna wear that, are you? Why not? Lorraine asked, her blood pressure rising. What's wrong with it? Well, people tend to dress nicely for dinner here, her mother responded. Why do you always disapprove of my clothes? She asked. I don't disapprove, she protested. I just thought you might want to wear something else. The words are loaded. There are years of history, tension, hope, care and control wrapped up here. It's what psychologist Denise McGregor calls mama drama. In her book of the same title, McGregor quotes women who are actively engaged in mama drama. One woman muses that the first female U.S. Supreme Court Justice, Sandra Day O'Connor, probably has a mother who said, you're going to wear that? I never liked black on you. Our mothers are imperfect people, and so are we. We all miss the mark somehow. While we celebrate the joys of motherhood today, we recognize that even the best mother-child relationship is a dance of pushing and pulling, control and freedom. Some mothers are nurturing, some are stifling, many are both. Some mothers always loved us, some mothers didn't know how. Some mothers are our best friends. Some mothers we never met. Our stories of having mothers and being mothers are unique to each of us. A couple of weeks ago, the elder group here at Unity Church came together to reflect on their mothers, and for many of the participants to reflect upon being parents or grandparents themselves. Here's some of what they shared. My mother had four boys, but she always wanted a girl who she'd call Nancy. Later, she became a house mother in a sorority
and help the girls do their hair and help them choose what to wear on dates. I didn't have a great connection with my mom. I love the intergenerational events here at the church. I meet older women who are mothers to me. I work in a medical clinic where people are unexpectedly going to be mothers. The role of mother is around us all of the time. Our world does not think enough of mothers. I didn't enjoy being a mother. My mother was only 55 when Daddy died. After a few years, she was terribly lonely. She started meeting with other women in the same fix. They made hook rugs together and talked. They needed a name for their group. They were very proper Southern ladies who unwittingly called themselves the Hookers. I'm a good enough mother. I could be counted on to listen and to care, holding up a realistic mirror rather than a funhouse mirror. My mom and dad had trouble making enough money at the mill, barely enough for food and rent. We had lots of freedom. I loved to play with the jets on the gas stove. I turned out to be a pretty good father. My greatest achievement as a mother was breaking the chain of intergenerational alcoholism. My daughter didn't get it from me, but she's a world-class mother. My mother tried to make up for complete lack of nurturing. Instead, she did things she knew how to do. We had a loving relationship around food and money. These were substitutes for what I really needed. She still comes to my house and she gives me money. I don't need any more. Being a grandparent is such an opportunity to get it right. When I think of my mother, I have sad feelings. Another aspect of mom was that she was soft and kind, and she liked to feed me, of course. And if she wasn't home when I got home from school, there'd be a pie she baked with a note saying to have a piece of pie. My mother couldn't show affection, but her mother died when she was 12. Her father was a tyrant. If you don't ever learn how to love, it's possible to be that kind of person with some help. My mother always saw something wrong with us as kids, but my grandmother was always glad to see me. As I became an adult, I had a power struggle with my mother. She wanted to make me into an upper-class matron whose primary purpose was to entertain. I went into therapy about my mother. I know she loved me. We all try to do the best we can, but I'm working very hard at being different with my kids. When I was 3, my mother died, and I went to live with my grandparents. It wasn't until high school, when I was living pretty much on my own, that I realized how much I missed not having a mother. Then, in turn, I had 4 sons. One of my sons had a friend who spent so much time at our house. He's in his 50s now and sends me notes saying how much he loved being with us. Mothering never stops. I had questions. My mother never had time. On Mother's Day, we used to wear white carnations if our mother had died, red if she was alive. Mother's Day was so hard, I was the only one in school with a white carnation. My mother wrote a letter to my sister and me to be opened after she died. It said, "Please go back to your own Methodist church." My daughter asked, "How did you know how to raise us?" I went back to my memories and I tried to do better. All we want is love. These stories of love, pain, joy, and laughter, they show us that mothers are people too, and so are we. As Irma Bombeck writes, mothers are not the nameless, faceless stereotypes who appear once a year on a greeting card with their virtue set to prose, but women who have been dealt a hand for life and play each card one at a time, the best they know how. No mother is all good or all bad, all laughing or all serious, all loving or all angry. Ambivalence runs through their veins. We are all complex, and so is Mother's Day. There are some women who choose not to be mothers, some women who would like to be biological mothers but can't. There are families with 2 mothers. There are mothers who made the difficult decision to place their child for adoption. Some women have made the tough decision to end a pregnancy. Some mothers have waited their whole lives to become a mom. Some of us lost our mother too young. Some of us never met our mother. Some of us never had a mother at all. Yet, a woman gave birth to each of us, and today, all mothers should be remembered, if not honored. We come to church to affirm that despite our brokenness, life is worth living, that life is good. We are always in relationship with our mothers, even if we never met them or if they died. As people of faith, we believe that forgiveness and redemption in our relationships is always possible and is always important, no matter if we wear very different clothes. If our mothers are alive, we can try to be in right relationship with them. If our mothers have died, we can try to be in right relationship with our memories. And today, we celebrate the sacrifice of the woman who gave us life and those who have cared for us. Because even if no one peeled grapes for us, we can always peel grapes for someone else. May it be so, and amen. Worship is ended, our service begins. Go forth in peace and be a blessing to the world. Amen.